145 has been the best division in the UFC since its inception. A lot of people seem to think that it is lightweight that's the best division. That is not true. Let's look at the champions coming out and how consistent the champions of 145 are. Jose Aldo was the champion. He was dethroned by Conor McGregor. Aldo got the belt back. He was dethroned once again by Max Holloway, who was dethroned by Volkanovski, who was dethroned by, this weekend, Ilya Topuria at UFC 298. The lightweight belt has passed around from hand to hand about as much as any other belt there was. In fact, I'm willing to say the only division that hasn't had the belt passed around as much is 185. That doesn't mean 185 is better. It just means that they have dominant champions. But for 145, the names of these fighters that have been turned away and the champions that they've created have been nothing but spectacular. So, like I mentioned, Ilya Topuria is now the new king of 145. He knocked out Alexander Volkanovski in two rounds. After a kind of first round from Topuria where Volkanovski started to get the better of him, he really started out that fight struggling with the low kicks. And that's something that we identified in our pre-fight video, talking about the low kicks of Alexander Volkanovski and how he has that step-up low kick that's really good, and with Topuria being so heavy on that lead leg, that could be a problem. Well, it turns out it was, and it wasn't. Obviously, there was less head movement from Ilya Topuria here. He didn't want to dip into a step-up high kick that would have ended his day. Probably the best idea he had all fight. Not moving his head, not dipping and doing all this. He did have a bunch of feints. You know, he was hip feinting, shoulder feinting. He was doing the false start that we identified in our written article, which is out for free. Obviously, all my stuff is out for free. So that study, we talked about the head movement, the footwork, and the false. We talked about a whole bunch about Topuria. We didn't get to see a lot of that here. Instead, we saw Topuria, who was calm. He was measured, and he didn't quite go for broke like he always does. The moment he did go for broke was a good moment because he saw Volkanovski was out of position. So another good thing that I liked from Ilya Topuria was the fact that I mentioned that the low kicks were going to be a problem for Topuria, especially being so lead leg heavy. Eventually, at the end of that first round, he started to time Alexander Volkanovski, stepping in on his attack, you know. So Volkanovski will step in and he'll throw that open side body kick, which did catch Ilya Topuria quite a bit, but it was the timing on that Topuria eventually figured out, and it was with the cross. He did it a couple times, but mainly with the low kick. And I believe that low kick was the turning point of that fight. So Volkanovski was a little bit mobile. His footwork didn't look great, but like I said, he was catching Topuria in the legs and in the body. And when Ilya Topuria started to pour on those, and he didn't even pour on that many. Let's see, I got UFC stats pulled up right here. I actually got it today. Let's see, per round, leg kicks, Topuria landed 4 of 5 and then 2 of 3 to Volkanovski's 11 of 11 and 4 of 6. Topuria made him count. I mean, I think that's quite apparent here. He did eat that open side body kick from the southpaw. That was something that, I figured was coming. We saw a lot of that with Islam Makhachev doing it to Volkanovski, and eventually that's what knocked him out. Volkanovski's like, hey, I'm going to try and steal that. And he, you know, he tried to. He tried, but it wasn't quite, I don't know. So anyways, it was obvious from the jump that Ilya Topuria just wanted to get Volkanovski to the fence to where he couldn't back up in a straight line, because Volkanovski, he's backing up in a straight line, and Force of Habit has him backing with his chin up high. And I'm thinking to myself the entire fight, like, he's going to get caught on one of that. That right hand of Topuria is going to find home. Is he going to be put out? He was put out. And he was put out bad. Oof. It was rough. Volkanovski kind of got himself out of position. His feet were one way and his body was facing the other. So you'll see a lot of the times, like, crossing of your feet is bad. Crossing of your body position is bad too. So if you're standing southpaw but your left hand is forward, then you're in a bad way. You can't move properly. And I feel like this is exactly what happened with Alexander Volkanovski. Topuria just kind of gets him to the fence. He's like, oh, he's crossed up here. I got to go for broke. And he went for broke, and he broke Alexander Volkanovski. Volk's one of my favorites, man. And that performance against Max, that third one, was like a fantastic performance. But I kept saying leading up to this, like, I'm not going to be mad if Ilya Topuria wins this fight because he's a good fighter. It's not beating him just because Alexander Volkanovski's old, which is part of it. But he, I don't know how to put this, like, he's a quality fighter with not a lot of tests. Like, Josh Emmett is designed to be a bad fight for Ilya Topuria. He has one weapon, and Ilya can figure it out. You know, Bryce Mitchell, Ryan Hall, Jai Herbert, not even in the UFC anymore. So, like, Topuria hadn't been, you know, tested coming up. He didn't have to go through Max Holloway to fight this, or Yair Rodriguez, who fights Brian Ortega coming up. There was no Arnold Allen or Movsar Evloev. Calvin Kattar even was that guy at one point in time. But, like, he didn't have to go through any of those guys. And at 14-0, I kind of questioned, like, is that okay? Is that going to be fine? And it was. It turned out it was totally fine. And, yeah, I am sad about the loss because, like, Alexander Volkanovski, like I said, he's one of my favorite fighters. I've broke him down ad nauseum. I've got the video of him. But, man, Ilya Topuria is just that next level. When we have a fighter that has hands like Ilya Topuria, has a skill like Ilya Topuria, like Khabib Nurmagomedov, for example, brought the wrestling of the UFC up a notch because he was so good at wrestling that people were like, hey, let me take some of what he does. You can't do everything that he does, but you can do some of what he does, and you can get better, and that makes the whole division better. You know, a rising tide raises all ships. Ilya Topuria is the same with his hands. He is not the same type of fighter that, like, Max Holloway is. And, like, he's a boxer, but, like, he's a crisp boxer. Holloway is just a volume boxer. This guy's going to crack you. So what's next for him, man? I don't know. Like, Holloway's good. I like that fight, but, like, Holloway's not the same. He's going to fight Justin Gaethje. Is he going to be the same after that? You know, he might beat Justin Gaethje. That'd be crazy. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's Yair Rodriguez and Ortega winner. I mean, that would be a good fight, especially if they did Rodriguez and Ilya Topuria in Spain, which is where Topuria wants to go. That would be fantastic. I like that. Ortega, I mean, that's a good one. Movsar Evloev is also another one that I called. I was like, you know, he's one of those guys. And obviously, Topuria said, no, I'm good on that because Evloev just doesn't finish people. And I have to agree. We said that in our last post-fight with Evloev after he beat Arnold Allen, but he's 18-0. He's won by decision in the UFC since he's gotten here, which was way back in 2019. Sung Woo Choi, Enrique Barloza, Mike Grundy, Nick Lentz, Hakeem Dawodu, Dan Ige, Diego Lopez, which was that's a fight you need to go back. That's super scrambly. And then obviously the Arnold Allen win, but he's like ranked 5th in the division right now. Yeah, he's 5, so he'll jump up after Rodriguez and Ortega finish their job this weekend, whoever fights and wins that fight, if somebody wins that fight. Ilya, he's a champion, but the division's going to have to shake out. And after Volk has kind of cleared out the top of the division, it's going to have to figure out what it wants to do. We need to get Brian Ortega out of there because he doesn't fight and he doesn't win. Volkanovski, obviously, he looked old, man. And I don't want to take anything away from Topuria because his performance was amazing. Especially when he found the moment to kill. He went out there and he killed. He didn't like have several moments to kill the guy. He made his reads. He did what he was supposed to do. And he got the win. But Volkanovski did look old. His footwork was nowhere near as fluid as it always looks. It was terrible. But he had a good game plan. You know, the low kicks. The body kick. He really wanted to take Ilya Topuria into, like, deep waters. Unlike Josh Emmett, like, he was hitting the body. And we saw in, like, that second round, Volkanovski started to feel more comfortable in the pocket, and he would throw some knees from the clinch and stuff, and he tried to clinch the finishing sequence. He did. He tried to clinch, and Topuria just found that spot that was open. He was crossed up, and he comes over the top of the right and just, like, puts him down. Solid body work, though. Whew, tired. No rematch. Please, no rematch. I have no desire to see Alexander Volkanovski get knocked out a third time. The dude just 4 months. He probably jumped right into training camp after he got knocked out by Islam. And he gets knocked out by Topuria. Like, phew, he could have an Aldo resurgence. Like, yeah, maybe, but he's not Jose Aldo. You know? It was rough. I didn't like, you know, what I saw from that fight. It kind of just hurt my feelings. But hey, it is what it is. And like, that's what happens. Like, Aldo was beloved and McGregor, you know, dethroned him and he got the belt back. But then like, he was still beloved by a lot of people. A lot of people saw him as a paper champion because, you know, Conor McGregor beat him. But then like, Max Holloway was loved when he came up and beat Aldo. Like, that was a big deal. Very big deal. And then Volkanovski, yeah, he beats Holloway, and it was contentious. Or was it contested? Like, it was close. Like, Volkanovski had to beat him 3 times. But by the end of it, everybody loved Alexander Volkanovski. Topuria has a lot of love, and it's a lot of cancerous fans, too. Like, they are insufferable. Like, oh, my God. I don't know why people hate on Volkanovski like that. I guess because he fought Islam? I don't know. It was a bit weird. But it was a good fight. You know, Topuria, long live the king. Hopefully this isn't the start of featherweight's belt changing. I don't see it happen though with Ilya. Like, he's really good. He might get 3-4 title defenses. Robert Whittaker ain't done yet. He beat Paulo Costa via unanimous decision after almost getting finished. Whew, I was worried. I like Costa, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. Like, Costa looked good. So he has this problem where he doesn't fight. Let me see, like, what's his schedule been like here? Because he hasn't been consistent at all since Yoel Romero. So he beats Yoel Romero, then he comes back almost a year later. Jeez, over a year later. He fought in August of 19 and came back in September of 20. So he fights a year later, pulls out in 21 against Whittaker for illness. Costa withdrew against Cannonier. Then he had the debacle with Marvin Vettori where he, you know, he was going to miss weight, and he told him I was going to miss weight, and they fought at 205. Then he had the Rockhold fight and was rescheduled, and he won that fight. Then he had the Ikram Eliskerov fight, and both fighters were rebooked. They were supposed to fight Khamzat Chimaev, and Costa had the elbow infection. So, like, he's had a rough go of it. But he looked real good this fight, you know? He's balding, and that's kind of funny because he's so all about his looks, you know, but yeah, he looked jacked, he looked in shape. Maybe he's back on the secret juice, maybe not, who knows. Whittaker's movement is the same. We've talked about Whittaker's movement before. Like, he's a karate point-based guy, but he like hits hard, he comes in, he punches straight, and he will come and brawl over the top if he has to, but for the most part he comes in 1-2, he exits at an angle, kind of the same thing we see with Topuria, except he's more karate, he's more on his feet. I wish we would get a rematch between Robert Whittaker and Stephen Thompson. The first fight was good, but it wasn't quite the same exact thing. So, like, seeing Stephen Thompson and Robert Whittaker fight at the top of that division, that'd be amazing, especially for 185. I've been calling for Stephen to go up that high for a while. But, like, Robert Whittaker's movement was great. It really was, and he got that spinning back kick, caught him in the end of the first round, and that gave Rob the loss in that round. But he came back, and I mean, we've seen him do this before, like where he gets hurt and he comes back strong. He did it against Yoel Romero twice. He did it against Adesanya. Who else has Whittaker beat like that? Because like, it's been several people. He's just like really good. Kelvin Gastelum was a tough fight, but he won that one pretty handily. Darren Till caught him with the elbow in the first round. Like, this dude is just the type of guy that just comes in, gets hurt, and wins fights afterwards. It's crazy. Sean Strickland versus Robert Whittaker is the fight to make. Strickland's a former champ. And if you look at the rankings, which I got pulled up right here, you got Duplessis, who's probably fighting Izzy next, and you got Strickland and Whittaker. So those are coming; those two guys are coming off of fights about a month from each other. So, I mean, the booking might work. Sean Strickland already said he got a fight in the works, I believe. So who knows what that'll be. He's probably fighting somebody like Paul Craig or something, but Cal Baraglio, maybe? I don't know. Sean Strickland takes dumb fights. But I'd like to see Sean Strickland and Robert Whittaker. That's the real fight because it's a champion versus champion fight. That's one thing that you can safely bet on being a real fun fight. So, yeah. Give me that fight all day long. I am all about that. Ian Garry, what were you doing? That was a horrible fight between Ian Machado Garry and Jeff Neal. Just, yeah, you know, Garry, don't get me wrong. Gary's hands looked amazing. He can strike. I feel like Ian Garry puts too much pressure on himself to go out there and perform in these fights. Like, he came in with the whole Conor McGregor impersonation, and people told him, like, hey, we hate this. So he kind of tries to start getting away with it, and he wants to talk trash, and, you know, he kind of does. And, you know, the whole thing with his wife comes out, and, like, I'm with him. Like, bringing family into this is just not cool. It's man versus man fighting. But, man, he kind of did the same thing to Jeff Neal with the mugshot. Like, that's kind of low. That's not bringing the woman into it, but, like, it's close, you know? Like, what kind of message are we sending out here? He puts himself under too much pressure, and now he gets a lot of hate for it. And I got people that I know, Abby, McMally, all those guys have met Ian Garry. I haven't had the opportunity to meet him. We exchanged head nods across the stadium at one point. But, like, they say he's nice, but, like, he comes off as this jerk. I get it, you're selling the fight, but, like, just be yourself, man. Like, come out, be humble. I told him that on Twitter and he blocked me. I'm not salty about it. I can make another account and follow him, but, man, like, it really is, like, you hear him at the press conference and he sounds like he's about to cry, like, all y'all are here to watch me, and it's sad, really. Like, I like Ian Garry, man. He's a good fighter. He's a quality fighter. Keep him away from Shavkat Rakhmonov because, that was rough. That would be a rough one because, like, if Jeff Neal can get you to the fence, and this is something, like, you know, Ian Garry, he's hopping around the ring, just going in circles, kind of playing hopscotch running from the guy. But, like, if Jeff Neal can get you to the cage, who has no idea how to do a takedown for the life of him, imagine what Shavkat would do or Khamzat would do, you know? And I know him and Khamzat aren't in the same division anymore. Khamzat's 185, but, like, still, 170 is full of wrestlers, man. Like, look at the rankings for 170. You got Leon Edwards, who's like the antithesis of wrestling, and it's crazy. Like, he's been developed for the perfect fighter for this division because you got Kamaru Usman, Bilal Muhammad, Shavkat Rakhmonov, Gilbert Burns, Colby Covington, Sean Brady. That's your top six. Gilbert Burns might be the weakest wrestler out of all of them, and he's not bad. You got Stephen Thompson, Jeff Neal, Vicente Luque. You got Machado Garry, who will move up. Jack Della. Oh, that's a good one. Neil Magny, Kevin Holland, Michael Chiesa, and then Renat. So, like, the top of this division is, like, grappling monsters. He's going to start running into some of these guys who know what to do when they get him against the fence. If Jeff Neal can get you to the fence, bro, I need more from you than that, because that is, that's rough. That's rough. Yeah. Merab Dvalishvili, we're going to move on to Merab. He out-wrestled Henry Cejudo, and, you know, the very early part of that fight, Henry Cejudo looked good. He looked like he was going to be making his claim at the title, or a shot at the title again, a fourth, third, something like that. And then Merab Dvalishvili kept coming forward. Holy crap. What is Cejudo going to do? So, like, he hurt Merab Dvalishvili early. Henry Cejudo did in the first round. But then, like, Merab just kept coming. So, like, Merab does have chin problems. I agree. But he's also super tough as nails. And he brings a torrential pace that drowns people. Obviously, Henry Cejudo is 37. There was injury questions there, you know. And at these lower weights, like, when you're old and you've got a slight disadvantage, it's a large disadvantage. Like you're fighting a light heavyweight or heavyweight. Cejudo's wrestling was great. You know, he kind of, a couple peek outs, really good wrestling technique. He got up, from Merab's takedowns, but Merab's not one to hold you down all the time. So yeah, but Merab, man, he just kept coming forward. It was something to see. I was like, wow, yeah. We're gonna kind of go quicker through the, I can't talk tonight, through these last couple fights here. Fluffy Hernandez versus Roman Kopylov. Open up the UFC 298 pay-per-view. And, man, I had Kopylov winning this fight, but Fluffy Hernandez came out and put on a pace like Merab Dvalishvili. He just kept coming, and this guy, like, kept coming. It was, he's scary at middleweight. Like, you got people in middleweight like Cal Barrio, Khamzat Chimaev, Nasruddin Imbruglia, Brendan Allen, Paulo Costa. So you got some good guys, but like Anthony Hernandez is one of them that's like, oh, he's good. Yeah, big motor. He's a scary 185er. Kopylov, open side body kick. This was the night for like failure for like open side body kick guys because like both of them lost and both the Georgians won. So winner for Georgia, open side body kick was a loser. But like he kept beating these kicks and Hernandez kept coming forward. I think I had Kopylov win in the first round, but I don't know how that lined up with the judges. But eventually the second round, he just came in, got complete control, wedged himself between the fence with him and Kopylov. That way Kopylov couldn't, wall walk up, and Anthony Hernandez sucked in a rear naked choke. Kopylov said, no, I'm good. And then he let go and said, all right, let's regrip, got the grip and sunk it in. It was beautiful. So good win for him. I think he's a problem at middleweight going forward here. Like him versus Chimaev is a scary fight. He beats Dalidze. He beats Imavov. Him and Brendan Allen's a good fight. Obviously Costa. Yeah, that's a fun fight, man. That's a real fun fight here. Amanda Lemos still has the same old problem. She took on Mackenzie Dern. Dern, like, she looked good, and she obviously thought she won this fight, which she didn't, but, yeah, she got her takedowns after, her hands are still bad. Let's not beat around the bush here. Mackenzie Dern still has bad hands, and she always has, always will. Amanda Lemos has a bad gas tank, seems like she always will as well. Dern had a great attack from the bottom, though. She's looking for arm bars, and when she got put down or when she pulled guard or got in a bad spot, she would find a way to transition, get to a spot to where she can make something happen, threaten a leg entanglement, threaten a submission, threaten something. And, yeah, so good performance from Dern. I was happy with how she fought. But at the same time, like Lemos, she just hits too hard, man. And she busted up Mackenzie Dern. Amanda Lemos won't win a title. She's real good, 14-3. She's got a lot of pop, but like she's got a lot of the same problems she's had since she started. And gas tank's number one. She seems to just get tired. And we saw that against her in her fight against Zhang Wei Li. Who else has she lost to since then? Jessica Andrade, stand in arm trying, Leslie Smith was a stand. Oh, I forgot about that. Leslie Smith just elbowed her in the head and they stopped the fight. Obviously, her win against Marina Rodriguez and Michelle Waterson Gomez is real cool, but I'm not sold on Lemos being another title contender ever again. Marcos Rogério de Lima beat Junior Taffa. He was supposed to fight Justin Taffa. That was pretty cool. Speaking of leg entanglements and looking to make something, Carlos Vera doesn't do that. He fought Japanese wrestling freestyle wrestler Rinya Nakamura, who moved to 9-0, and I'm real big on Nakamura. This is a weird stylistic matchup, so if I'm not mistaken, this was a short-notice fight. Brady Heiston was who he was supposed to fight, and he's more of a all-around guy. He's 2-1, lost to Tercios, beat Fernie Garcia, and then knocked out Batgirl Dana, or whatever his name is. Ultimate Fighter guy. But, oh man, I'm struggling today, guys. He ended up taking on Carlos Vera, who is a leg lock specialist, and that's just as bad as it sounds. He lost to Brad Katona on Ultimate Fighter. Rynya, he did a good job of kind of negating what Carlos Vera does well. And, you know, that's kind of what you can ask for on a short-ish notice fight. I don't know how long it was that it pulled out, but it was a short-ish notice fight. And, you know, that's kind of what you can expect. And then, like, Nakamura, he did a good job of, like, controlling the situation. So, he would get to side control. You know, he couldn't find a finish because Carlos Vera's constantly just frustrating you with getting hooks here and there, looking for leg entanglements, you know. Weird opponent, hard to apply damage to. But Rynya Nakamura, make no mistake about it, this kid's a problem. He is, what is he, 3-0 in the UFC with a knockout in the first round on his debut. Two decisions that, yeah, no, he likes to finish fights, but he's had two decisions, and he's only had three in his career, so, yeah, I get it. I get he was upset. Zhang Miyang got poked in the eye by Brinson Ribeiro, and then he told the ref, and there was like, fight, so he said, okay, and he knocked him out. That was kind of cool. Danny Barlow beat Josh Quinlan. Oben Elliott beat the lowest IQ Val Woodburn. And then Miranda Maverick beat Andrea Lee, who I don't know why she's still in the UFC. That's just so weird. She's four losses on the trot. Natalia Silva, Miranda Maverick, Natalia Silva, Macy Barber, Vivian Araujo. Time for it to go. She lost three fights already to Joanne Wood, Lauren Murphy, and Roxanne Modafferi. So, yeah, it's time for her to go. Time to get out. All right, so that's going to be it. I'm tired, guys. It was a good card, though. Like, really good card. We got Marino and them coming up next. I don't think I'm going to do a podcast this week. I got some family stuff to take care of there. But, yeah. So, I'm out. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Later.